This is Real Life with Lisa Jesswein on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Lisa Jesswein.
Hey, everybody. Hope you're having a wonderful day today. Some people who may not be having a wonderful day might really want to listen to what we're going to talk about today, because this is something that everybody can relate to. If you haven't, bless you. But how many of you out there listening have actually gone through a breakup? Either you have initiated the breakup, either someone has broken up with you. And at that time, it feels like the entire world is collapsing around you. Someone who knows a little bit about this, as a matter of fact, a lot about this, is Rebecca Freedom McClaskey. And she is a counselor, and especially in addiction recovery. Is that correct, Rebecca?
It is. I have experience in addiction recovery, but specifically, I'm a breakup specialist.
Get out. See, now that, how do you, because I didn't even know there was such a thing as a breakup specialist. So every day you are helping people to get through that process of getting back on your feet and feeling not like a pile of jello, which is what happens after a breakup, right?
Yes. It's like the, it's like the worst, because your brain doesn't shut off. You just, especially if you're broken up with, it's like particularly traumatic. Your brain doesn't shut off. It's all you can do is think about that person at nauseam. And if you did the breaking up, a lot of times, sometimes you feel guilty for hurting a person, unless you're a sociopath. But most of us just get back on Tinder immediately. We're like, screw this. I don't want to feel my feelings.
So would you recommend?
Yeah, I help people do better. Yeah.
You recommend that we feel our feelings or go back on Tinder?
Yeah, both. No, just kidding. I recommend not Tinder at all. That's the whole process of why you would hire a breakup specialist, because I really say that healthy relationships are built on the foundation of successful breakups. So if you go through your breakup and you learn what you needed to learn from that relationship, you're going to have a much healthier relationship moving forward.
Okay. And a lot of this sort of came about, I mean, you've obviously gone through a tough breakup. That's how a lot of this started, right?
Mm-hmm. Several. That's why I'm an expert.
She says that with such joy. I love that. And so she created this book, Breakup Rehab, Creating the Love You Want. And it comes with steps. For forgiveness and self-responsibility and self-compassion, awareness, power, and purpose, which are all these really strong words that we want when we're not feeling so strong. So one of the things I just want to read, something on a page that I read just resonated with me. So I'm going to read this, and then you're going to tell me a little bit about this, because we're not going to go into all 12 of these steps, and we may move around between these steps, because we really want you to get the book, Breakup Rehab, Creating the Love You Want, and we'll have all of the links up on our show page as well. So on this page, which is under inventory the moment, it says, holy crap, you're magical. Get that through your head. Your soul wanted something more than to be in your relationship. Explain this to me.
I'm a good writer. Damn.
Yeah. Seriously. That's why I was like, okay, I love this and I have to talk about this.
I need to take my own advice. The whole idea is that love is expansive. It will continue to expand and grow you. And if love can, love will grow people together, where they'll be able to renew time and time again, and the relationship will stay intact. But if that relationship doesn't fit the shape of your soul, if you're being called to something greater, oftentimes the relationship will end. It will come to an end. And so that's what I'm really referring to in that phrase about being magic, is just to say, like, hey, powerful being over there, like, don't get hung up on one person being the source of your good.
Yeah. And there's so much more out there, whether you're the one that is dumped or vice versa. And sometimes it does, you have to be patient and kind with yourself as you go through this process of rehabilitation. What are some of people's first instincts when this happens to them?
Yeah, the first thing after a breakup is just shock. Oftentimes it's shock. And then your self-esteem plummets like the stock market in 2008. Just boom, down. down the drain, and you feel like, what's wrong with me? Or you try to fix that. My favorite, this is what my go-to, especially because I'm a counselor,
right,
the worst, is that I just want to fix them. I'm like, you have childhood trauma. If we just fix it, then we can be together forever.
Oh, yeah. Got to fix it up, because it couldn't be just that it's over. There has to be reasoning behind it. Now, do you think, even when people say, oh, I never saw it coming, I was in shock, is there usually a time after you start healing from the relationship that it comes into consciousness of, oh, yeah, okay, there were signs, or I can tell we weren't right for each other?
Yeah, that is definitely part of the process. But one of the things that I really learned through doing this work is that the way your relationship begins, let's say you just hop into bed together, it's super intense, or will really often be echoed in the way that it ends. So all the signs are there in the beginning. And you can't notice them a lot of times until after the relationship ends. So you're right on the mark with that it takes perspective and space to be able to be like, oh, maybe his alcoholism was a problem.
And I really shouldn't have, been in, why can't I think of it right now? Not a bit, when you sort of go along with everything. I'm missing
just
that word.
Compliant.
Yes, just compliant with it. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. When someone had it just happened to them and they're shocked, and people sometimes reach out to other people and talk horribly about what just happened, trying to get them to sort of either come to their side or make them feel better. If you're the person who is listening to someone who just got broken up with, are we supposed to get on the rah-rah, yeah, he's a you-know-what too, or are we trying to... I never quite know what to do, especially if you knew that breakup should happen.
Well, oftentimes, this is one of the greatest metaphors I've really, again, come across in this work is the metaphor between the sun and the moon, right? So the moon obviously goes through its phases. It never reflects. It's a full moon is a total reflection of the sun, right, of that light. But oftentimes we're only half reflecting it back. So the reason I use that metaphor is the friends that you talk to are never going to accurately reflect back what you need to hear. That's your responsibility. So as the friend, like, of course you can lend a helping ear, and you can offer support in the way that you know how, and just and try to stay positive. Try to say like, well, we all have lessons to learn. We're all in this together. It's no one's fault, even though we want people to take our sides. And then really just put it back on the person and be like, but ultimately it's your choice. It's your responsibility. You're the one who has to live your life.
Yeah. And, some people may have well-meaning advice, or someone will tell you, buck up, get over it, do whatever. If you need a moment to be in that space and just cry the ugly cry when no one else is around, is that okay to do?
Well, there's no formula for our relationships. Like, getting into a relationship, especially nowadays, is bumpy. It's really bumpy. It's messy. We want to hurry up and have romance save us. And then when we get out of it, it's just, the pit, horrible. It's like, it's just also really rocky. So, there's no formula, but there are 12 steps.
All right. One of my favorite ones is the be of service. I think that's really an interesting concept. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, sure. So that's actually, because this book was inspired by AA, the 12th step is to really take the message to the people. And, because we're wired for connection. We're wired for a connection as humans. We're wired to like be in groups, to have companions, to have company for people. So when you learn something and you know better and you can do better, being of service is really like offering that to somebody else who needs it.
And it's sort of like I relate it to this. I'm not a really good flyer. I get nervous when I'm on planes. But if I'm sitting next to somebody who looks even more nervous than me, and I try taking care of them, saying everything will be okay, suddenly I feel better. So I'm thinking some ways that you can get through what you're going through is when you reach out to someone else. And it doesn't have to be about a breakup. It could be about anything else. It's shifting your focus and your energy to help bring you back into alignment.
Wouldn't it be great if, like, starting in kindergarten, they taught us how to have healthy relationships? Like, it was just, like, part of the curriculum.
That would be so good.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
I know. It would be wonderful. I think they need to do a little bit of that. You know, and everybody may not go through all 12 of these steps, right? Will they skip some steps? Well, if one step works, you know, is this just basically set out saying, try all of these to see which one works?
In the preface, I really encourage people to just read through the whole book, you know, read through all the steps, including the last, like, bonus beyond life, beyond breakup. Just read through all of it and see what lands for you, because this is a book that you return to over the period of time, over the year of healing or over the couple months of healing that you go back to and you're like, you know, I'm not so much at forgiveness and letting go. I'm really more figuring out what my life purpose is. Like, what does it mean for me now? And you can really, like, dive into that particular step. So it's both general, like, overall, the whole system is general. And then you can make the steps specific to where you are in your journey.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you talk about was that there's contradiction to the 12 steps. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Well, you always hear love yourself, uh-huh. You know, love yourself, take self-responsibility. But I also say, well, how do we learn to love ourselves? By being in relationship with other people. So that's a little bit of a contradiction, because we think, well, is love myself an isolated thing that I just love myself? No, you figure out where you practice by figuring out where your boundaries are. And then also boundaries are flexible. Like, for one relationship, you might be really boundaried around the type of sex you want to have. And another relationship, you could just be a porn star. Like, whatever. I'm speaking from experience. They show up differently. They show up differently with different people. Uh-huh. So that's a contradiction. That's a contradiction. And that's why it's, you know, messy.
I get that. And so, you know, the question, because we all want to know, are you in a relationship?
Am I currently?
Yes.
This is the fun plot. My life is full of plot twists. I was dating somebody in April of this year, and it was one of those, like, super passionate relationships that ended quickly. We dated for about three and a half months or so. And, he broke up with me the 2 days before my book came in the mail from my publishing house.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't, he just basically, I was like, universe, you have such a sense of humor. You're giving me so much fodder to talk about. They're like, you know what? You haven't been through a breakup in a while. Let's refresh. You're going to need to talk about it.
Let's make sure you don't forget what this feels like.
Yes, exactly. So I'm currently just in, I am in my own, I am living breakup rehab right now. I think that is the best way to say that.
Mm-hmm. And which step is the most, the best for you?
The step is just to really realize your strength and your vulnerability. And for me is to say, you know, to give myself, because again, I'm such a scientist when it comes to these things. I get so analytical, and I just want to dig in and parse everything apart and be like, well, this is what happened at this age, and if we clear this up, and then blah, 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 and my life, and instead of just being vulnerable and being like, hey, you know, I really want partnership. And that's really alive for me and true, and just to give myself permission to feel that, you know, to really feel the depth of that desire and that longing. And also a huge part of being vulnerable is surrender. It's just being like, God has a bigger plan for my life than I do.
Right. And it's very hard not to just go back into your shell, because you hear this all the time, you know, from your friends, and they'll just say, that's it. I'm just not going to let anybody else in. I'm just not going to love. I'm just going to put this wall up, and I'm going to, I mean, don't you hear that all the time? That's a plan, a game plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was, so I'm almost a part of CODA, Codependence Anonymous, and I just started that process. Mm-hmm. And I was reading one of their literature pieces last night called Peeling Back the Onion. And it talked that they call that relationship anorexia.
Oh.
Where you actually withdraw so firmly that you starve yourself of companionship and connection, and because it feels a bit safer, and which is, you know, maybe for a short period of time that would be true, just to give yourself a pause, but to have it be your life game plan is really going to rob you of living your life, being able to experience the joy as well as the pain.
Very true. Now, if you happen to be going through a breakup right now, like Rebecca is, I have some of Rebecca's words here that I think you need to listen to. So I'm just going to read this. Here we go. Take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. I know it doesn't feel that way. I know that you feel numb. And under that numbness, there is a current. There is a hunger. There is a new chapter being written. And though it may feel as if the book of life has closed, there is more to your story. Your breakup is part of your script, and it's a vehicle for your rehabilitation. Come on, say it again. Damn, I'm good. Say it again, Rebecca, because that's some good stuff right there.
Listen, I will say, and this is from years of, like, so I was born in Bible school. My dad was a pastor. And so from baby for a lot of my life, I learned to just surrender, to just get out of the way and let Spirit speak through me. So as much as my ego wants to take credit, this is really an act of God. This is really our Spirit, or God, if you choose to understand him or her,
mm-hmm.
you know, was moved through me to be able to write those words. So when I hear him back, I'm touched. That's a weird kind of feeling as an author. I know that maybe musicians feel that with their songs too, but
yeah,
it's some powerful stuff.
Well, and one of the things that I've heard repeatedly when going through breakups is the sort of list method or letter of writing a letter. Can you explain if that works and what that is?
It's a really effective tool. When going through a breakup, it's good to give yourself that 30-day no contact sort of period, to the degree that you can. If you're co-parenting or there's some other extenuating circumstances, obviously you might have to continue to communicate. But to just give yourself time to step back is really important, and ask the question again. My brain just trails off. So as far as journaling, journaling and writing the letter
mm-hmm.
goes, I would say that anytime you want to talk to your ex, anything you want to say, any anger that you have, any curiosity, write a letter, put it in your journal, like put it down, but don't send it. Don't take, I say that in the book, don't take a picture of it and send it to your ex. Don't post it on social media. Don't have your friends read it. You know, one of the tools that I really used is I would actually record myself speaking into my iPhone, mm-hmm. and then I'd listen to it back. And in some way, that created this this comfort of, like, yeah, well, what if he was saying this to me? Or, you know, what is the energy of this that I'm really trying to get? So that's a really good tool as well.
One of the things that I did when I went through my divorce was it was suggested that I list what I won't miss, because you're always thinking about things that you do miss when that person's no longer there. And it actually, I said it out loud and it gave a lot of energy. I won't miss this and I won't miss that and I won't miss that, you know, and it sort of said, well, okay, maybe I will be okay even though he's not in my life because I've said these things that I won't miss. Have you ever done that before?
Yeah, definitely. Where you just, you look back and you're just like, oh man, I won't have to deal with that. And I won't have to deal with that. And that feels like, and let me just add an aspect of that too.
Okay.
Is that the codependency is a disease meaning imbalance in the psyche. And codependents will do that. They'll be like, I had to be responsible for them, for this thing, for that thing, for the other thing. And I won't miss that. What we're really saying is I want somebody to be in partnership with somebody who can be responsible for their thoughts, feelings, and actions.
Mm. Yeah.
And I want to be able to be responsible for my thoughts, feelings, and actions and not to sit around and wait to be rescued.
Yes. Because we go, oh, I'm so hurt. What I want is someone to ride up on a white horse and take me away, and they're going to be so perfect. We can't. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. You can have things that are, helpful or joyful or whatever, but there is no perfection. And, a lot of times when we are so hurt, we think that I'm only this, and this is going to be what I'm going to get now. But the next relationship you might have might not be the perfect one. And you got to be okay with that, right? If there's a lesson involved in that particular relationship.
Well, nature is our, and I talk about this in the book too, nature is our greatest teacher because there's seasons into our lives. Like seasons and cycles and rhythms always. And often we want to skip winter and stay in summer, forever summer. And I'm just like, no, relationships go through when you meet, there's a romantic love, and then you go into the power struggle of like, how are you going to do life together? And then you start to go through, maybe someone gets sick or you have a financial hardship and you see that person's loyalty grow, right? Mm-hmm. Like an acorn is not an oak. And I think that when we come to relationships wanting perfection, we expect it to be an oak already that will shade us, feed us, take care of us, mm-hmm. versus being like, I can grow myself and this relationship will grow and my partner will grow too. And we'll grow differently. That's another thing. You're not going to grow at the same pace
right.
as your partner.
Right.
So
whether you are going through a breakup, you just came out of one, or you really want to up your game on how to be in a relationship and out of one, because there was a lot of really good things in your book about when you're in a relationship. That, to prepare yourself one way or the other, which I really thought was great. So it's called The Breakup Rehab, Creating the Love You Want. We're going to have all the links. RebeccaFreedom.com is your website. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Fantastic. Yeah. We'll have all those links up there. We have come to the point in our show where we call the RL3, three silly, goofy little questions that Rebecca has graciously said she would answer. So here we go. This is an interesting one. Besides what you currently know the most about, if you could be brilliant in any one subject, which would you choose?
I'm science.
Science?
I would actually really like to be more brilliant in quantum physics and understand like the depth of existence, like at a more scientific level.
That is a cool answer. I like that. What was the most fun you've ever had at a party? It could be anything.
Oh my God, I get such social anxiety at parties.
Really?
The most fun. Yeah. I'm a ugly duckling nerd swan, like kind of thing. So the most fun I've had, I hate house parties. I don't like them.
Oh.
I'm much more of a concert person. Like, put me in a concert and let me dance and just let me have my space.
Okay.
That's the most fun I have. Yeah.
See, like, party of one. That's good. This is just hanging out, doing your thing. I love that. Well, we also find out, we might find out two names for you. We'll see. First, we find out your fantasy name, which is going to be the name of the first pet you ever had and then the street you grew up on. So what would be your fantasy name?
That's Kitty Hillcrest.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Kitty Hillcrest. She's got a sordid past. You can tell. And for fun, Kitty Hillcrest, we need to find out what band Kitty Hillcrest would be in. And that's done by the color of your underwear and the last food you ate. What band are you in?
Gray Banana.
Wow. Kitty's in a band called Gray Banana. You see, this is the type of stuff that people will wait through an entire interview just to hear. So, that's what I love. So I really appreciate you being here with us and sharing all of your knowledge. You guys, this is a well-written book. Please, even if you know somebody going through a breakup and you think, oh, they're not going to want to sit and read a book, I promise you, this one, even if they just do one little paragraph, one little page, there's always these nuggets throughout the whole thing called Breakup Rehab, Creating the Love You Want. Thank you so much, Rebecca. I really appreciate you being here.
My pleasure. Thank you.